Hey, welcome to Resonate's Sermon Q&A podcast. We are so thankful for the questions that have been submitted, and we look forward to what God's going to do in our time together. Now, let's begin the show.
Hey, welcome everybody. Welcome back to our Sermon Q&A podcast, and we're just cruising through the summer. I think summer's almost over, which probably is going to disappoint a few people and maybe make a few parents really happy. So, but we have loved being a part of this. Hope you've enjoyed it too. Love the questions for today. So let's start just by introducing one another. I'm Jim Applegate. I'm the executive pastor here at Resonate.
I'm Lauren Tai. I'm the connections coordinator.
Yay.
Hello, hello. I'm Yvonne Chung, and I'm the minister of equipping here.
Yeah.
Will Medell, pastor of Hayward, campus pastor.
Our campus pastor in Hayward. So it is great to be together today. So how are you guys all doing?
Doing good. Yeah. I actually have a question for you guys before we get rolling. So this sermon was called Sabbath as Joy. And so I was just thinking, like, what is something that gives you joy that other people might find maybe like non-standard, bit offbeat?
Yeah.
I'll go first.
Okay. Hello. You already had yours lined up. You're in the pocket.
Sure do. Yeah. I really like to see, so there's this one account on Instagram called Nature is Metal, and it shows a lot of like when animals like attack each other. I know, like in the wild, like, so the one that just gave me so much joy recently was like, I saw a bullfrog that was huge, like maybe the size of like a junior soccer ball, and it ate another bullfrog whole, like, and it wasn't even that much smaller than it. And that was just wild to me. I think I watched it 30 times in a row, and like the joy was completed every single time.
What gave you joy about that? Like, that's just...
Well, what gives you joy about electricity running through poles? My gosh. So it's like...
No, but it just seems so violent. So when you... Like, what was the... Is it just like...
I just think it's so cool. Like, how does one, like, bullfrog just jump at each other and like... Like, it just completely takes down the other guy in one gulp.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah. That is the kind of the freak of nature type thing.
Yeah.
I think I've confessed mine the other day when I was preaching that I love long airplane rides, like 15 hours. Like most people are like, do not put me on that sort of transport for 15 hours. My wife hates it. I love it. I absolutely love just the disconnect. So that's mine. What's yours, Lauren?
Recently, this has just been since having a baby, but being able to go grocery shopping by myself, like, I will fight Dylan for the chance to be able to go grocery shopping by myself. I'm like, I'll do it this week. Don't worry.
Put that on Instagram and, like, Nature is Metal and show Lauren fighting Dylan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean,
good. Yeah. You can make lots of followers on that.
What's yours, Will? What is your...
Oh, man. I had a retreat about 2 weeks ago, and all I did was sleep and watch a bunch of lectures from the great courses. So I was watching about the Renaissance and watching about the Higgs boson and watching, you know, all kinds of stuff like that that nobody finds interesting. But that's why today during our meeting I kept saying ad fontes, because that's going back to the sources, which is from the Renaissance. Anyway, yes. That's
what I like.
Everything Will just said.
Yeah. Will is probably the only one amongst us that actually does his devotions in Greek and Hebrew. And he comes
Spanish
across
too?
Like the fun guy, but he is actually really quite intellectual.
Yeah.
And so deep. So, man, it's awesome.
Fun and nerdy.
There we go.
Everything's
up
for the deep part.
Yeah.
That's not true. That is not true.
Well, hey, you know, we've asked this question to our preachers as they preach through these sermons together. Like, Will, you preached on Sabbath as Joy. So did you feel like you left anything on the table on Thursday or Sunday when you were sharing this message?
Man, the only thing I could think of was I felt like three services, and I felt like everyone was a little different, and that's okay. It felt like the crowd was a little bit different in every service, you know? So like, you know, Thursday night service, I just felt like there was a little bit different vibe in the room of like people really relating to the fact that, like, I felt like people were there in the moment. we didn't make us who we are. Like, God was the one who made us who we are, you know? Mm. And so I think that's a big part of what the Sabbath is remembering. And so I felt that freedom on Thursday to just kind of go there and say, man, that's the reason why I love the Hamilton story so much. It's not because it's in hip hop. It really is because, like, this fool had no business being alive. And that's pretty much how I feel about my life. If you were to ever go back to my hometown, Saginaw, Michigan, you'd be like, oh my gosh, this is where Pastor Will comes from. And it's like, yeah. I think that's it. It's just that, like, everyone was different. So I wish there was a way to, like, incorporate. And you've preached before, so I'm sure you feel the same way. It's like, oh, I wish I would have said this, but that's about it.
Yeah. So there wasn't really anything specific that you felt like you laid it all out there.
Yeah. The text was pretty, we squeezed the text hard.
What was your guys' favorite thing about the sermon, and how did God speak to you?
I loved the part about, you know, when you were talking about the hard parts of taking a Sabbath and the cost that it would take. And just, I love that you orbed it out in very real ways. Like, you might not be able to keep the job that you have because you're deciding to set apart one day.
Nope.
But then when you turned it and said, but what do we gain?
Right.
And I think that's so important to remember, that it's not just that God wants us to do things as, like, pure, like, punishment, the downward road just for the sake of, but it's because he wants us to have all of himself.
That's right.
And that's a really good thing. So I really appreciate that part.
I think Romans 8 in general is a passage that I think I read every single day of my life for probably about a year, whenever I was just, like, really struggling with, like, my, you know, idol and sin struggle is, like, perfectionism and control. And so can definitely relate to just, like, feeling that I have to perform and feeling like I have to just do things right all of the time. And just what you were talking about, just the fact that we can have such joy in the fact that we're no longer slaves to those things and, like, are children of God. And that's how I can rest. Like, you're talking about Sabbath, and the reason that I can actually enter into that is because my identity is just, like, not based in what I can do. And so that just hits me every time. Yeah.
Amen.
I love it. One of the things that was really helpful to me was you just talked about preparing for the Sabbath.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, actually, you know, making physical preparations to take a day. And so, do you need to get the laundry done ahead of time? Do you need to get the groceries done ahead of time? Like, what do you need to do ahead of time so that you can actually take a day just to rest? And, you know, I think, like, I'm really good at preparing ahead of time for, like, a meeting that I have at work, or, you know, for the schedule that I have for the day ahead of work. But I'm not really great at saying, I'm taking a day off tomorrow, so let's prepare for that. Like, let me go by the grocery store tonight and get milk so that I don't have to do that tomorrow. Yeah. And I just thought, you know, when you said that, that was such a great practical thing of just saying, let's prepare our hearts. Let's get ready. You know, and I had a friend who, you know, his family would like get together and they would light a candle to start the Sabbath, you know, and let it burn all night until the next day was over. But they had, you know, a rhythm that they were going into. Oh, that was another great thing you said, that God is not into process. He's into rhythms. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and to enter into that rhythm of God, I thought that was a really great thing to say. So, yeah, it was great. Well, thank you so much for sharing your heart with us. So it was good. I'm going to actually start at the bottom of our questions because, you know, one of our questioners last week said, hey, you know, what if I come second hour and I put my question at the very bottom and it has no time to get voted up? I was like, oh, yeah, that's a really good point. So there are some, you know, some fun, you know, questions right at the end here. So I thought maybe we'll start at the bottom this time and work our way to the top again. So one of the ones was, Pastor Will shared about feeling stress physically in your body, your jaw, your side, your heart. You said those three things. How do I know if my pain comes from lack of rest rather than other things? I thought that's a great question. Like, just, you know, you talked about, man, you can feel that stress in your body. And, you know, you even took us through an exercise of just dealing with that. But yeah, how do you know if it's just, maybe it's not from stress, maybe it's just from your body not functioning correctly?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I'm not a doctor, so So if you got a persistent thing, go ahead and get that checked out, please, because we want to make sure that you're healthy. But I think more often than not, a lot of us know our bodies really well, like something that's a persistent pain in a certain place when we feel stressed. I think that's what I'm talking about more than anything else. And so for me, it happens to be my jaw. It happens to be my chest. And so if I'm feeling stressed in those areas, it's a pretty good sign for me. Basically, it's a personal MRI that says, hey, you think you're God.
Yeah. Well, and I think a lot of people start that journey of they are experiencing physical pain and they do go get it checked out because they think it is a physical thing rather than stress. And a lot of times that journey starts to reveal, oh, this is actually stress or anxiety related.
Yeah. Do you have any areas of your body that get affected when you get stressed and, you know, you can start to tell, oh, I'm not resting well because of, you know, or I'm not saying no to things. Like for me, it's when you said your jaw, you know, my dentist talks to me all the time about, you know, having a mouth guard because I just grind my teeth like crazy. And I don't think I've done it for years, but every time I go in there, he complains about it. I'm like, you're complaining about an old problem that I think I fixed. You know, like I wear a mouth guard or I do those things, you know, but it is my jaw. I can tell when I'm like not living in the peace of God because my jaw just gets really tight. So how about you guys?
I'd say like if there's a part of my body that gets stressed more with tension, it's my shoulders. But then also I'd say like not physically, but another sign that I'm feeling stressed is I feel like whenever I'm stressed, I sort of start to lose like personality. Like I just become more shell-like. Yeah. So I think those are two signs. Like one is more physical and one is more like how am I interacting with the people around me if I feel like not myself and I feel kind of like a shell, that's a sign that like, hey, something is going on as to like why you don't feel like yourself.
Yeah. For me, sometimes I get back spasms. I also feel it a lot in the tension in my brow. Mm. Same thing with the personality. Like I become a lot more subdued or, I mean, most people know me to be sort of like a walking around laughing randomly person. And so that happens less.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's helpful. It's helpful to know that we're all, you know, I love that book, The Body Keeps Score, because, you know, that helps you realize, man, God created us as physical, biological beings, and, yeah, the body does keep score, so it's a great way to tell. So.
It's also one of those things where I think as Protestants, we're really bad at church, and what I mean by that is we always think about the worst things about the church. We always think it's about, like, the Pope or something like that, and what the best thing about the church is if we get to know one another, and if we really know one another, then people can say, do you realize you laugh when you blah, 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 when it's something that's really painful? Mm. Like, that's one of the most powerful things, right, that somebody can tell you.
Yeah.
And so I like this question because it's like, how do you know that it's lack of rest? And the answer is, I don't know. But hopefully there's people in your life that do know.
Yep.
Hopefully it's like, whether that's, you know, if you're younger, maybe you have a great relationship with your parents or just your peers or maybe somebody in your MC. Like, there should be people in your life. So I have at least three people in my life that'll just look at me and say, stop laughing, you know, like, and be out of love. They're not condemning me or scolding me. They're just saying, hey, you're in a lot of pain right now. Stop laughing.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's a real precious gift.
Yeah. I love it. Love it. Okay. I want to go on to a different question. There were actually a few questions like this in today's questions. Does the Sabbath have to be on a Sunday? Can it be on another day of the week? So
Sabado.
Sabado. Yeah. Yeah.
That's very literal. But yeah, it doesn't have to be on Sunday. Mine is specifically not on Sunday. The right. nature of my job is that I am actually working on Sundays.
Right, right.
And all of our jobs. And so, yeah, I think I talked about in an earlier podcast episode. Mine is, I flex between Friday or Saturday.
That's cool.
And so I protect one of them each week.
Okay.
I think even now, same, I am working on Sunday, so it's Friday or Saturday. But even whenever I was a teacher and my work week was Monday through Friday, it was very rarely on Sunday that I would call my Sabbath, just because Sunday has kind of been like a day of preparation for the week for me. So it's clean the house, finish grading papers, make sure my bag is packed for school, that kind of thing. So even whenever I was in a secular job, typically my Sabbath was on Saturday, and then I would either attend church on Sunday or Thursday night. But
yeah, okay. What does secular mean?
Not working in the church.
Sweet.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, when I was in when I was going to school to become a pastor, my Sabbath would rotate because I used to work at a restaurant. So sometimes I would get out of work at 3 a.m. Sometimes, you know, whatever. And then you got papers. But I would always work really hard to make it 24 hours. So 24 hours after my last shift on Saturday until 24 hours later would be my Sabbath. And so that's the only thing it was for me, right? Like just trying to make sure that my body was off for those 24 hours. No seminary papers, no studying, no reading, no church stuff, nothing. Just trying to spend time with my wife, and that's it.
Yeah, I think biblically the answer to this question is really clear when Jesus says, God made the Sabbath for man and not man for the Sabbath. What he's saying is I gave this as a gift to you. And so it's not being legalistic about the day, but it's being, you know, but it's enjoying and receiving that gift that he's giving us to take a day off. And so that's really the important thing. You know, even a couple of weeks ago, I just said it's the absence of expectation, the absence of striving, right? Yeah. So not, you know, it's putting aside your to-do list and your to-be list because God said you can. Because he's got it and he's in control. So, you know, there might be some Jewish followers who would say, no, it's got to be on, right. You know, the Sabbath. It's got to be on Saturday.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, like that would be the day. And then, you know, certainly fellow believers, the Seventh-day Adventists would say it needs to be on Saturday. And they would be, you know, that would be their rule to keep. But, you know, we would just say, well, the way that we look at Scripture is that God actually made Sabbath for man. And so it becomes our choice. And he's like, yeah, you know, like, but just take it, like take the gift that you've got. So,
well, and that's one of the cool things about us having service here on Thursdays is if you are a part of Resonate Church and you work in the service industry, like, man, make Thursday your Sabbath day, like prepare for that. Go to your supervisor and say, hey, can I have Thursdays off? Mm-hmm. I mean, that would be a really wise thing to do.
It's a great idea.
And that way you always have Thursday off. You don't have to plan for it. It's just one of them things. And I promise you, but I used to be a restaurant manager. Somebody comes to me and say they need Thursday off. That's not a problem. You need Saturday off or Friday or Sunday. That's a problem.
Mm. Yeah.
So asking for a Thursday shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah. I remember this question being on previous podcasts, but we didn't get to it. And I think someone said, does taking the Sabbath have to be one full day?
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
That's a great question. I think even Will, you encouraged us, like, practice for an hour, you know, practice for 4 right, hours, yeah. You know, and
or at least that's what my draft said.
Yeah.
maybe that's what I left on the table.
Yeah. Well, I think you actually did say it, and you know, I just like you were like encouraging us to do it for an hour,
yeah.
You know, and I think that's a really interesting thing because, you know, like building up towards actually taking a day off, it does take time to figure that out. And so, I don't know. I mean, Jesus seemed to work part of the Sabbath, you know, and yet he took other times off. So I think, you know, like, you know, would I say there's a legalistic thing where you have to do 24 hours a week and you can divide it by threes, fours, you know, whatever, as long as it adds up to 24 hours that you're Sabbathing, I don't think that would be a good idea. I don't think that's what he's biblically saying. I think he's saying enter into rest,
mm-hmm.
right? That's what he's saying. So, yeah.
Yeah. I guess it's more like, do you have Sabbath as part of your lifestyle?
Right.
And, yeah, it's a journey to work your way there.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a question. This was actually the number one voted question that ties into this. And the question is, so how does having responsibilities to serve at church each Sunday fit into resting on the Sabbath?
Mm.
Whew, that's a great question, you know, because if you're a part of any church, and Resonate is no different here, that we always ask people to serve. And, you know, we ask people to serve because we want you to be a part of the community. We want you to meet people here. We want you to be able to use your spiritual gifts to serve the body. You know, it's not like there's a professional staff and then there's a lay staff. We don't think about it like that at all. In fact, the staff that gets paid to be here throughout the week is basically doing that so we can equip people and create space for people to serve, mm-hmm. to use their gifts. And so, but how do you do this when you think, okay, well, you know, I work Monday through Friday, sometimes Monday through Saturday, and then I'm being asked to serve. Like, I think of two, you know, beautiful servant people at resonate named Jean-Jay and Priscilla, where he's a lawyer and she works at Apple. Those people work really hard. They've got two kids, and yet they're highly involved in our kids ministry and Res Kids. Wow. And so what would Sabbath look like for them? You guys got any thoughts?
One thing that I have done is the way that I serve at Resonate is vastly different than what my like responsibilities are as my job. And so in my job, I am, you know, doing admin things. I'm creating workflows and taking people through workflows. I'm meeting people and leading teams.
Highly administrative stuff behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of a combo, but whenever I serve with students, what I'm doing in terms of like discipling and meeting with my students, it feels very different than what I'm doing for work. And so I, you know that that is something that I'm just doing purely out of the joy of like, I love following Jesus and I love to watch students and help students follow Jesus. And so that doesn't feel like work to me. Like, obviously, sometimes I'm really tired on Tuesday night. And so, like, it doesn't mean it's easy all of the time, but it doesn't feel like something that I'm doing to, like, earn the Lord's favor or something that I'm doing to get an A. It feels like something that I get to do because I care about those people. And so picking a, like, way to serve, like, there's not just one way to serve at Resonate. Like, you have giftings, and there are places at Resonate where you can use your giftings that are going to feel way less like work and way more like living out your calling.
So you're just basically saying, like, serve in an area that gives you life.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what Sabbath is resting in a place that actually fills you up. So,
for sure.
Yeah. How would you answer that, Yvonne?
I like how Will, you even opened up with just talking about that you can have joy even when things are hard, and that it's like Sabbath as joy. And so, for example, I know it doesn't always sound like it, but I'm actually a really introverted person. And
it doesn't sound like it.
And on Sunday mornings, there is a part of, I go home and I'm exhausted because like the, especially at Resonate Fremont, the lobby is just super loud because there's so many people, and even all that noise, even if it was just music and not people's voices, that would actually drain me. But I get so much joy from that because I so remember even from like 13 years ago of how I was so welcomed when I first came. And so now my joy is to share that same welcome with anyone who would come into the doors of Resonate. And I love that feeling of being, of spending myself for like good things. And that gives me joy versus like, if I'm holding babies is a little bit different. That one, sometimes it's like the joy of helping out a ministry that just really needs it that morning. And I'm like, okay, it's my joy to like sacrifice in this way, but I can't do that long term. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to move on. You know, Will, you said, you got to correct me if you're wrong, preacher's in the house, so, you know, but I think you said something about, you know, actually taking a rest actually shows people out in the world that aren't living according to God, that you live differently,
right? For sure.
Like you're trusting, so you're trusting God that by taking a day off, that he's in charge, he's in control, he's over it all.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. Am I getting that?
Yeah. I mean, the Sabbath was a huge sign in the Old Testament. It's one of the signs. So yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So this person then, I think in light of that explanation, says this: I know people who work hard 5 days and at least the seventh day and probably the sixth play hard. How does resting on the seventh show that I'm different?
That's a great question.
It is.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great question. Because I think rest and like play are a little bit different. I know we talked about this like way back, like a month ago, right? Because play is just something enjoyable, and there's nothing wrong with any of that. So don't hear that at all.
Right,
so
right.
Like, because if you play, I'll give you an easy example. So my wife works at, I already said this, at Apple. I said, if you're here, you know that. Like, oh, there's my disclaimer, okay? and she got done with DubDub. That's a big conference, developers conference. As soon as she got done with DubDub, we got on a plane. We went to London. So we were playing hard. We went to London, then we went to Paris, then we went to Rome, Florence, and a bunch of other places. I do remember, but like it was a lot. And that would be an example of like I was on vacation, but I was tired. Mm-hmm. That wasn't restorative. So in the same vein, like if you're playing like that, you're not going to restore your body. Like I would just ask, man, is your play actually restoring your body? Because I could play in a way, like I used to bike hard. I used to bike so hard I broke my ribs one time. That's a long story.
Whoa.
But if I'm not resting, that all that cycling isn't helping, even though it's good physical exertion, even though it's great cardio, even though my body's loving the cyclist high and all that stuff. If I'm not allowing myself to rest well, then I'm not getting the rest that God wants me to have. So I think maybe that's the distinction, which is like, yeah, I think if you're playing too hard, you're probably not resting because your body really needs to rest.
Yeah. And I think if it's about enjoying Jesus, if you're playing that hard, like, let's be real, we're not enjoying Jesus in that moment.
Like, I like that. Yeah,
that's you true. Are enjoying something, right, but it's right. not. It's not Jesus, and I don't mean that in a condemning way. It just means that's not Sabbath.
Yeah, 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 for sure. And I think that's part of it. I don't think it's like you have to do the whole day with prayer, but I think that when you're rested, your heart just so much easily goes toward Him in prayer. Mm-hmm. It's such a weird thing. Like I remember coming back from Europe and just saying, "Oh, I've got these days by myself." And I thought, I got to spend like 8 hours with Jesus. I got to do it. And thankfully, I felt the Spirit saying, man, just go to sleep. And I did. And when I woke up, I was so much better rested and able to actually spend good time mm-hmm. with Jesus. Yeah. And I think that's why I came back. Just, I hit the ground running when I came back. I mean, you saw me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I came back and I had to preach a sermon, so.
Yeah. Like, is it helping you restore your identity as a son
yeah.
or a daughter of Jesus.
Well, like, maybe yeah. go back a couple weeks ago where I preached that, you know, hope shifting sermon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would just say, like, are you trying to meet the innate needs of your heart and the world in religion or through the gospel? You know, because that's going to make a difference too. And I'll just point people to Galatians 5, where it says the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, self-control. You know, looking for those things as a product of rest. And yeah, so just distinguishing rest from play and yeah, taking a day off is definitely not the same as, or taking a day off work is definitely not the same as rest, mm-hmm. right? Those are two different things. So yeah. Okay, let me go to another question. This is our second most asked question. And it really didn't have a lot to do with Sabbath, but maybe we could turn it into that. And I love it when parents ask these questions. It says, how do I teach my kids about joy and it not just sound like happiness? Like, what's the difference there? So the whole sermon was Sabbath as joy, right? And you early on in the sermon established that joy and happiness are two different things. So yeah, what do you say to your kids? You can be joyful about it. You don't need to be happy. Like, I don't even know how you say this, Will. Like, what do you do?
I mean, my kids are a little bit older, so I don't know how old your kids are, but it's really important to just be able to try to relate to your kids and help them understand, like, what's getting you excited, what's not getting you excited. Like, really, like, help them decipher, differentiate between those things and why. It's getting to the why behind different things. You know, it was funny. When I came back on a Sunday. It was my first day back to work, and I told the congregation in Hayward that my daughter was really excited to come back early because of EBS. Like, she just wanted to be back with her church family, and like that's what brought me joy. Is that like, I mean, we had just taken her basically around the world to these great places. And she's like, but I just want to be with my church family. I want to be under the sea. I want to do scuba. I want to do memory verses, you know, and for me, that's just joy. So I think one is just talking to them. Like my mom always used to say that about Amber. My mom would say that Amber did a great job talking to us as if the kids were regular human beings, not little like sub humans, you know, basically. And I don't know if that's just a Mexican thing or what, but the other thing I think is just like, what, just tell them what gives you joy. Like specifically, right? For me. So like, you know, I talk to my kids about why I'm listening to lectures about this, then I tell them why I'm reading this. I tell them why I like taking walks. I explain to them why these things bring me joy. And then even when we get into the sin things, like I explain to them like how we fall into these sin traps. I explain to them why them trying harder is not going to help them get out of sin. So just having those very explicit conversations with the kids, I think is going to help you explain it better than you think it will.
Yeah. And I think it's great advice, Will. And you know, one thing I would say to parents is like, try. Mm-hmm. Just try. You know, you probably won't get it right the first time. But if you keep talking about it and talking about it and talking about it, you'll probably get closer and closer and closer. So, you know, I think especially in our context, like we're always trying to be perfect the first time out of the gate. And it's like, you know, just, you know, try version 1.0. And then, you know, next time try version 2.0. And, you know, honestly, like how long did it take for us to figure out the difference between happiness and joy? And sometimes I'm not even sure if I know the difference, right?
Too long.
And so, you know, just realizing you're not going to teach your kids everything by the time they leave the house, but you can practice and talk about it. So what do you think, Lauren?
Yeah. My child just turned 1 year old, so I don't know if I'm at the verbally explaining joy and happiness part yet. So thank y'all for tips for the future. But I think I'm thinking through it as like, as he is growing up, is like when things are going right, the only time he's going to see me happy or joyful. Like how do I let him in and show him when like life circumstances are hard and when they're going wrong, and how that doesn't necessarily mean that I have to like turn into a horrible person or a tense person or a frustrated person. Like how does he kind of witness me react whenever like things don't go right? Because if the only time he sees me joyful is when I am happy and when everything is great, then he's not going to learn joy. But whenever, if he like sees me have joy, even when I'm like not happy, then maybe that will kind of leak into him, like being able to see the difference.
Yeah. So. I'm not a parent, but when I think about what my mom and dad did, they actually never taught me specifically about happiness and joy, but they really talked to me about what's temporary and what's lasting. Mm. And also just this idea of delayed gratification. And I think joy is such an abstract concept that as a kid, it's like so hard to grasp. But I think in terms of like temporary, like you even think of science and like the different states of water, you know, and I think there's a lot of like object lessons there to start with that as a basic concept.
Yeah, love it. Okay, so I've got a question. Will, this wasn't on the list of questions, but this one's for you specifically. Because I felt like you basically told us as the campus pastor of Hayward, don't call me on my day off. Like, leave me alone.
I didn't say it like that, but I may have said something like that.
So tell us what you really meant by that. Like, tell us the heart. Like, what were you, because I knew you were kind of being emphatic to get a point across.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, so,
So you're not telling us not to call you?
No. If there's an emergency, there's a way to get a hold of me. If you're in the emergency room, man, I mean,
you want to know, right?
I want to be the first one there for sure. That's why I'm in ministry. I love being with people in those hard moments. What it is though is that, you know, I think I don't think we do a good job modeling our lives. You know, Jesus, Paul says, you know, follow me as I follow Jesus, right? And Jesus, man, first thing he did in the morning was be with his dad. You know, he Sabbathed well. And so what I need the congregation to know is like me being there 24 hours a day is not going to help you. I'm not the savior Jesus is. And so I need to model this for my kids. I need to model this for you. And so just being honest with you, it's not because I don't like you, but if you text me and it doesn't seem like it's important, I'm not going to get back to you until the day's over.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's not from lack of caring. That is actually because you care.
Right.
Because you're trying to model and you're trying to be helpful. So, yeah. So there is a way to, you know, be polite and yet set a precedence there. And that's interesting because even with like your boss at a secular company, like when you worked in restaurants or when I worked in construction, when you worked in teaching, like there's a certain amount of just ignore everything around.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have to, you know, potentially weight that and say, well, how much trouble is this going to get me in if I don't respond? But I think, you know, a lot of us have a, you know,
Yeah, we think too highly of ourselves in the sense that, like, no, I have to answer this thing that my boss is asking of me. And maybe you do, but I don't know. I think we don't have to as much as we think we do.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, honestly, even for me as a boss, like, there's sometimes that I'm just throwing out things out there on Slack, or I'm texting people. I'm like, hey, what do you think about this? And I'm not expecting a response right away, but it's just something I'm trying to clear my head. And maybe I should add a line that says, don't worry about getting back to me till Monday. I know it's the weekend, but, you know, I don't expect people to get back to me because it's their time off or whatever, you know? And so,
so yeah. It's really funny. We have a surf staff who's really involved on our campus. And one of the things she's asked for our paid staff is, man, if I Slack you, please, you know, get back to me quickly, because she is doing this, you know, on her own time. Mm-hmm. She's not paid, right? And I said, that's fine. I can make sure we get back to you. I said, but girl, you keep slacking us on Friday, so that ain't gonna happen. Mm-hmm. So just helping her understand, like, okay, nope, that's great. Thank you for letting us what your needs are. Now let me tell you what our needs are. And so that communication, I think, is very healthy. And I think pastors need to communicate better, just those different things that are necessary. But the truth is, if somebody from Hayward needs to get a hold of me, like, you'll get a hold of me. It's not a problem. We got a system involved.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I mean, honestly, I've watched you shepherd. I've been a part of Resonate for a little over a year and a half now. And I love the way you shepherd your people. And I feel like I've been able to get a hold of you every day of the week. You know, and you wait that response. And, you know, I think there's been times when you've actually responded, hey, can I call you tomorrow on this? I'm like, absolutely. So I think those are, you know, sometimes we stress over things when it's just that clarification of communication might be helpful. So, yeah, you guys got any thoughts on this?
That was mainly, I mean, you asked a very poignant question toward Will.
I did. Well, what do you guys do when people call you on your Sabbath or try to get a hold of you on your Sabbath? And, like, how do you ignore people without being rude, I guess is the question.
Yeah. If it's someone who, by speaking with them, would help me enjoy Jesus, then I pick it up. Good. And if it's not, I don't.
Okay. All right. Now I know where I stand, Yvonne.
Yeah. I don't mind.
That's really helpful, though. I mean, I just love the way you're saying that, guilt-free.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. That's awesome.
How about you, Lauren? I think you have a softer, kinder heart than Yvonne. So
she does.
I'm just kidding. That is not true.
But she does.
No, I don't know. I think I'm still figuring that out, honestly. Like,
I love that answer.
I think that I, like, lean hard in either direction. Like, I mean, I would say that I'm not a great texter anyways, and so, like, I have a problem, like...
No, she's not.
...getting back to people with text message all of the time. So, like, that's something where it's, like, there's, like, a good part of that, and there's a bad part of that, because I think sometimes, like, not getting back to people is a lack of, like, caring for them. Mm-hmm. Even if that's not my intent, that is, like, what comes across. And then I think on the other side of it, like, there are times whenever I for sure get messages and, like, respond to them on the weekend when I probably could have waited. I think part of it is, if I see it, then it's going to be on my head anyways, and so if I respond to it there, then I can kind of, like, put it to the side, whereas if I don't respond to it, I am just thinking about responding to it no matter what. But no, I think I TBD.
Okay. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah. Great. I love it.
Great answer.
You know, one thing for me, I put my phone on the kitchen counter. My watch is on the kitchen counter. I don't sleep next to my watch. I don't sleep next to my phone. Like, I told people very clearly, if you want to get a hold of me in the middle of the night, call my wife. Because that's about the only way you're going to get a hold of me, other than, you know, throwing a rock through my window or something. Because I'm out, you know. And I just think, you know, hey, it's only been in the last 25 years, really, that we've been able to communicate at such an unprecedented level.
Yeah,
and for sure. You know, even for me, just to go back and say, you know what, my grandma couldn't have done this. My parents couldn't have done this. And, you know, there's a level of anxiety that just builds up. And it's because I think I'm in control again, right? Like, I think I need to have my phone next to me just in case. It's like, no, God is our just in case. He is always there. He's always taking care of things. And so, again, it goes back to your sermon, Will, of just letting go of that kind of idolatry in our lives.
I mean, that's just the text. The book I wanted to leave everybody with was Sensing Jesus. And S. Wine, said, that is the author, he says that...
Zach S. Wine says
the biggest sins of a pastor is you want to be God, you want to be there for everybody, you want to know everything for everybody, and you want to be everywhere for everyone. And you're not that omni.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good word. Well, hey, that's a good word to end our podcast with today. So thanks, everybody. That was fun. I think we dived in deep. Yeah. And
that was real quick.
Got some really good stuff. So yeah, I hope you guys get to share this podcast with others. And I hope you get to come back Sunday or Thursday night and come and listen to the sermon. Come and ask some more questions. We absolutely love just answering these questions. We haven't spent a bunch of time studying or anything. We've just prayed for the power of the Holy Spirit amongst us as we've been answering questions. And you know what? You have the Holy Spirit in you if you're a believer in Jesus, so you can answer these questions too. And so I hope you know, as people just walk up to you at the water cooler, at the coffee pot, and they ask you questions, like if you just stop and say, Holy Spirit, can you help me right now, that He is faithful to help. And I love that. So, all right, you guys, we're signing off, and we will see you next week on the Summer Q&A podcast.
Now live sent.
That's a wrap. Thank you for hanging with us as we dive into these tough questions. We encourage you to share this podcast with those in your circles, and we encourage you to share with us any more questions that you might have. Thanks for being with us.